Hello, Polytopians. Thanks for tuning into the Polytopian Times. I'm your host, Sam, and today I'm joined by eSpark.
Hi, Sam. How's it going? What are we getting to talk about today?
Doing pretty good. Today we are going to be chit-chatting about some simple principles for a score, how to understand it and how to use it in game. We won't be getting to super-duper, like, detailed ways to use it, although we'll briefly cover that. I'm just going to go out of a more high-level way to utilize it in your games. And, without any further ado, let's jump right on in. So, starting off, let's just take a look at the base level way you could use score. Now,
yeah, so I have to admit, I'm not very good at this, so I'm looking forward to hearing, what do you do with score counting? How does that work?
So, I mean, it's pretty nifty. I think the highest level way to use it is a barometer for how you're doing in comparison to an opponent in a game, or really any opponent. So you can see, do we have comparable score? Then likely you might have comparable eco or comparable numbers of cities or techs.
That I'm familiar with, because I know if I have 3,000 points and they have 6,000 points, I'm losing and I should probably just resign. I can figure that out. Yes.
So we'll start at the very highest level. That is what you care about score for in any game. So yeah. So you can actually see some nifty things. So it turns out there's each action in the game has a score value associated with it. Well, most of them anyways. And you can use that to sort of determine what people are doing and even what tribe they start with, just based on what those values are. However, honestly, past the first couple of turns, it becomes kind of a crapshoot in actually accurately attributing what you see in a change in score. Because, I mean, after a certain point, you can't tell if they spammed a bunch of units or researched a single tech or upgraded a couple cities or what went on during that particular turn. Maybe they got an altar of peace and you didn't know they'd been sitting there for five turns on it.
Yeah, I think you can use it to figure out what your opponent tribe is, but you know, I play a lot of multiplayer games where I just ask, like, before we dive in, I'm like, hey, what tribes do you want to play? And we usually agree to it in advance. So I'm not trying to sleuth that out. But I know sometimes, you know, if you're doing a random match or you haven't agreed to the tribe ahead of time, it can be really helpful to you to figure out what your opponent is using.
Very much so. And yeah, but I'm with you too. It's not necessarily going to make any huge difference in the gameplay. Maybe you can plan a little bit ahead because you're like, oh, I know they're going to be a barter player, so they'll do X thing. But in general, you're going to probably just use an explorer and then see a tile of their terrain and then it's
you
the
know.
Same. Yeah.
You're like, oh, there's, you know, this type of forest. They must be Zubasi, whatever. You can from the terrain.
You sit in there and you're like, oh, I see Cymanti terrain. So centipedes are coming.
Centipedes, hexapods on their way. Uh-oh.
Yeah. 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 You start regretting playing a drylands map on random. but yeah, I guess.
The one other time I've seen a score be really useful is if you see a jump in score, right, if they have like a few hundred and then it really jumps up, you can think, oh, they just got an explorer, right? Because that's a big way to boost your points early on is reveal a lot of tiles.
Yes, 100%. Either that or, honestly, they could have done another cheeky thing where they like sit on cities, but they don't claim them yet. So they have like three they're waiting on with a warrior, but they buy like a tech or two first and then they get them all in one turn too.
Who does that?
I've done it a couple of times.
Oh, I've never heard of that. I'm thinking more like turn three or something, you know, very early. Because some people, you know, get that explorer on their, when they claim their first village.
Yeah.
Cheeky, huh? All right, we like to cheat on cities and claim them all at once.
Oh yeah. And you just, your opponent's like, what happened? They went up 1500 points in score. What? So at a high level, Polytopians, let's just run down what the starting points are for tribes. So
let's run through it.
Yes. So we're gonna start out at the lowest level you can go, the saddest amount of score you could have is in a tribe in Polytopia. And I think this is very telling on What tribe is not necessarily the best tribe in Polytopia? And that's Aquarian. Aquarian starts with 415
Oh, sad
score.
Aquarian.
Yeah, sad all the way until they get Tridentians, and then they can, obviously Tridents are good, but like that does not a good tribe make.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Aquarian is the least points, 415. And then who's next?
Well, we're looking at Luxador at 465. And I mean, again, kind of makes sense. They don't really start with anything. And they're also an extremely weak tribe in the meta. I mean, slightly better than Aquarian, but I mean, by late game in all reality, generally, yeah.
Oh, Luxador. Oh, how the mighty have fallen.
Yes, yeah. Hawthorne weeps, the former Luxodon. His mafia is no more.
And then who's next? Then we jump up to the 500s.
Yes, and we start out with the first set of tribes you can't clearly determine due to score. See, there's a whole bunch of tribes that just start with 515 points, and we're talking specifically, basically all of your starters. So, well, with the exception of Umaji because they're special, but we have Imperius, we have Chinchi, we have Barter, we have Kiku, we have Illyrian as well. You really can't tell what your opponent's throwing at you. Could be a turn zero tribe. Maybe they're going to try farming dragons. Maybe they're just going to be, running around with boats in a way that you can't handle. But it really could go any which way. And a lot of the T zeros are right there.
But it's not all the T zeros, right? Sibossi
No.
is not a 515.
Oh, no. No. And actually, I think that is our only T zero that's not
Right?
there.
Yeah, Kiku, Chinchi, sorry, not sorry. Kiku, Imperius, Barter. Yeah, but Sibossi is not in there. And I don't know how they come up with these numbers, to be honest with you. Like, where do they just roll some dice? Is this like, I don't know.
I think it's based on the tech they start with, and the well, I guess that must be the only thing that could really impact it. And that's, yeah, it's got to be sort of rolled out of nowhere because I mean, okay, Aquarian doesn't start with the tech, so they're roughly 100 points behind everyone else. That sort of lines up, but 20 extra points for farming. And this is correct here. For a tier two tech, when you research it, you get 200 points. For tier
Yeah.
one, 100. For tier three, 300. Zabasi with a tier two tech at start compared to a tier one should have 100 more points. Oh, sorry, they do. They have 615.
Okay,
Exactly.
so it's
So it
based
does
on the
line up.
tech. Okay, that makes more sense.
So yeah. Yeah, it's based on the techs and stuff. Although, riding is because riders are inherently worth more than warriors. So,
Umaji,
yes.
yeah, has a little bit more of a point, right? They're a little bit, they're 520, where the others are 515. Got it.
Yes. And specifically, that is our next up is Umaji at 520. And
Are
then,
they the only 520?
yes, I think so,
Okay.
because they're the only ones that start with riders.
Got it.
If we move up past that, then we hit our next layer of 615. So those are the tribes that start with the tier two tech. So we have Imo, we have Sabasi, and we have Yadok.
Right.
And then after that, we have Quetzali, who starts out with a tier two tech and tier two unit, but they're
Yeah, okay.
620.
So they're 5 points above Zebasi and Imo. So Quetzalia is 620. That makes sense. Okay.
Yes. And then Hudrik is also 620, well, with their archer and archery. And then at the second from top in score, we have Polaris and Cymantia at the start, both with 630 points. If you ever start a game in a 1v1 random online with a random player and they start with 630 points,
Right.
tucker up. Yeah. It's coming either way around. The only thing that could be worse than that is starting on a random match with a player on a 1v1, and it turns out it's a tiny drylands that you didn't host, and their starting score is 730, because then that means you're playing against a Vengir player.
Thank you. They have the most points because they have the highest tech and a swordsman, right?
Yep, that is exactly it.
Yeah.
So. Now you can use that to determine what tribe you're starting against. Now, for some of those tribes, like say out of our 615s, there's some ways you can identify which tribe you might be fighting depending on their second or first turn move. For example, with Yadok, they could lay down a road, and then that warrior is
Yeah.
generally going to walk off, so he'll get the points for the exploration of their tiles for that first move that some other tribes might not get. So that's something good to keep in mind. Now, specifically, you'll be able to determine this sort of stuff by understanding the points for each of the actions done, which we should probably go through now if we're going to talk about this
Sure.
any
Let's
further.
go through the points for the units and the actions and the techs and the upgrades, right?
Yeah, the whole nine yards. Pretty much everything in the game gives you some sort of score. So if we're looking at actions, generally that's stuff that levels up your city. So say you harvest some fruit, or you hunt like a deer out in the woods, or you go and get yourself a little fishy out of the water, or you lay down a lumber hut. Well, each and every one of those is going to give you 5 points towards city development in your score.
Think you should get more credit
And
for building a lumber hut than catching
yeah.
a fish. The amount of time it takes someone to build a lumber hut versus the amount of time it takes you to pick some fruit, right? No, that's
Yeah.
clearly score does not equate to the amount of effort and time you put into it.
Yeah. They're just like, they look at the Polytopians and they're like, you are all but numbers to us.
That's right.
But it doesn't necessarily always correlate out. But yeah, it could be any of those two populate or sorry, single
Two
population
stars.
generating. But yes, two star
Using
costumes.
two star resources, that's what it equals. Yeah.
Now, if we move up to our two population resources, which are all 5 stars, we have mines, we have
10 stars.
farms.
Oh, wait, no,
Oh,
you're right. Five
ports.
stars, 10 points. Right, right, right.
Yes. But ports are 10 stars, which
Oh,
throws us
right.
off right at the end, which is also worth 10 points because it only generates 2 pop. The points are clearly correlated to the population and not the cost.
Yeah.
Yes. But you can tell they're laying down a tier 2 building if you see 10 points pop up,
Got
but
it.
not really much else. And for each tile that a unit explores, you get 5 points. So if you see, like you were saying early on in the
Yeah.
game, a couple hundred pop up, then yeah, they ran around, maybe landed on a mountain. Beyond that, when your city upgrades to level 2, you get 10 points. When your city upgrades to level 3, you get 35 points. Beyond that, it's not going to really matter. You're either going to be able to see it, or you're just going to know from the sheer volume of giants coming at you that they've been able to farm.
Watch out, giants coming. But yeah, the bigger your city, the more points you get. Right, that makes sense.
Pretty natural evolution there. So, now, before we touch on the units, let's take a look at techs. I feel like that shoehorns nicely after our
Yeah.
level ups and our buildings. So for our tier 1 techs, you get 100 points. For our tier techs, you get 200 points. For tier 3s, you get 300 points. Nice and
Makes
simple, easy to remember.
a lot of sense. Yep.
I like that. Now, beyond that, say you find yourself a nice empty village and you make that a new city. For each city you get yourself 100 points. So can be a little difficult to decide whether someone's got a new village or if they've researched organization, but either way, you have a general idea. And then the only other structures that you get points from are going to be parks and monuments. Parks are going to give you 250 points for each time that you sacrifice getting a super unit. I don't know why you would do that because I don't play glory,
The only reason why is when you make a mistake and you click on park instead of giant, and you're like, no.
And Darren Jesus wept.
Well, a lot of people have been asking, I don't think it's going to happen, but like in this new beta, a lot of people are asking, can please parks do something else besides just give you points? But at this point, no, that's all they do is they boost your points, like if you're playing perfection or something.
They're just there for people who aren't going for the heavy competitive and excluding glory. Sorry, glory players, we
Oh,
keep
that's
forgetting
true.
you're there.
I do. I often forget glory. We have to talk about glory more. But yeah, parks really, the only thing they're good for is that jump in points.
Now, the last thing on the list you can get is the monument. That's a very special thing that you get 400 points for. So if you see a 400 point jump out of the blue, that's a monument that your opponent got.
Yeah, and if it's on turn five, it's probably IMO.
If you hadn't yet determined that that was your opponent, now you know.
Now you know.
So, The last thing you can gauge some score for is obviously your military. And for each military unit, you get a different varying amount of score. For your base warriors, the cheapest thing you can produce, you get 10 points. For your riders, your defenders, and your archers, you're sort of tier 1.5 units. Not quite tier 2, but definitely more than your most base warriors out there. You get 15 points apiece. Once we start moving up towards your, what I consider your tier 2 units, you know, the advanced sort of leveled up versions of those tier 1 units, you start getting 25 points a pop. So that's for swordsmen, that's for mindbenders, and that's also for cloaks. Now,
it's interesting. What about daggers?
I would presume they're worth the 10 points, same as a warrior. Yeah,
I think they're the same as a warrior. I agree.
Yeah. But I'd have to confirm. Now,
yeah, I don't know. But I would guess it's 10 points because they have very similar stats to a warrior.
True, true. For your most expensive military units, the ones that are just above and beyond the veil in terms of what you have to pay, but also in terms of their potential, you have the knights and you have the catapults at 40 points a pop. So each of those is worth 4 warriors, technically. But whether or not you'll actually be able to realize that is a whole different story.
And are units like Dumux and Tridentians pretty much the same as a knight?
Yeah. Generally, I believe you'll find parity between the super unit version of the same unit.
What about a Navalon?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I have no idea.
I want to say that they probably have whatever the same value as a giant is in score.
And what about boats and stuff? I think they're... I don't know. Oh, I have to look it up. I'm going to go to the wiki. Shout out to the wiki! Everything is on the wiki. If you don't know, you could probably just look it up.
This is true. This is true. Anyways,
but yeah, there's... I would say at that point, once you're in the game where you're getting battleships or Navalons, really,
it's...
counting isn't going to benefit you very much.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, at that point, if you haven't gotten explorers already, there's a good chance you might have already lost.
Yeah.
I mean, I know getting workshops is nice and all, but that vision can be life-saving when it comes to, like, preventing a ship in an Avalon from popping up and taking out your lone defender in a city.
Navalons are so fun. We should probably do an episode on them.
I mean, we do have to rehash the Illyrian tribe along with every other tribe once diplomacy finally launches. So yeah, Polytopians, by the way, yeah. If you've been waiting for an update to all those tribe episodes that are now old and outdated, well, that's going to be coming as soon as we get an update. So by end of year, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, don't hold your breath. The beta is taking a long time to get updated, but we'll get to it, and then there'll be a new meta and new strengths and weaknesses for the different tribes.
Yes, and I can guarantee you'll enjoy it a lot more, unless you like chopping down trees, in which case I'll shed a single tear for you.
One single cheer for those trees. Oh.
Is. Well, I think that probably wraps up what we have to say about score counting here. Any last minute stuff you want to throw on?
The only other thing I'll say is, even though I don't really use score counting, even though I consider myself a competitive player, I haven't really invested in it. Most of the time, it doesn't really pay off the amount of energy. But I know that very top skilled players, especially players who play those blitz, like quick games.
Yeah.
If you watch any of the recordings of like Poly Live or the Bullet tournament, you'll see on one screen the player who's waiting for the other player to take the turn. They will flash their info screen on and off, on and off, on and off, because they are like micromanaging, watching for those increments in score to go up, and they use that to figure out, oh, they know that, oh, he got a rider, oh, I know he got a explorer, oh, I know he just, like, they, in the moment, they need that, but that's too high level for me. But if anyone is curious to see that kind of action, we can maybe link to it. I'll put a plug for the bullet. There's a YouTube channel where you can watch some of the more recent bullet tournaments with really high level players. And again, they have to play quick, like 2 minute turns. It's really interesting.
That sounds interesting. Quite.
So that's fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Speaking of, I mean, thanks as always for joining us, eSpark. Did you have any other plugs you wanted to drop in while we're here?
Oh, yeah. So another project that I would like to plug that I work on is a fan newsletter called the IMO Times. It doesn't come out every week, but usually once or twice a month, we put out a fan newsletter. There's a website that talks about mostly things in the Polytopia fan community, but also analysis, art, opinions. We have a website, so we can put a link to that. Thanks.
Yeah, got a whole breadth of topics there. Yeah, and of course, you know, on our side, we're going to plug the new Polytopian Times YouTube channel. If you're interested, it's there for you. And if not, you know, go read the IMO Times, because at least that's got some really cool stuff in there. Also, we have quite a few folks on there. And before we do go out too, I just want to throw out a final thank you to Dan11Pan for all the help making thumbnails for the YouTube channel.
Tan is amazing. I also have to shout out to Tan. Tan's also helping me IMO Times writing some articles. So hooray, Tam. And thanks to Dastig and everyone at the Discord, Boko Boy. You guys are awesome.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you guys like a bunch. And seriously, definitely give the IMO Times a read if you haven't. There's a lot of good stuff in there. And well, until next time, Polytopians. See ya.